Thanks, Leslie. Hi. I'm Stephanie C. Yeah, this putting, helping where I could was just it was a lot. It was fun. So I'm glad, that I got a chance to help out a little bit. So for me, my story. I'm so glad to be here. I've gotten the chance to tell my story a couple times, and I get a chance to tell it to such a huge group here on the on Zoom. It's crazy. So for me, I'm originally from California, from Northern California. That's where I was born and raised. Growing up there, I'm an only child. I'm the only child. I didn't have any siblings. But I grew up feeling like I had siblings because I, my grandmother and my aunts and my uncle, they were all around during that time in California. We lived like right around the corner from each other in California. I grew up in a area called Union City, Oakland, the whole that little Bay Area area. And for me, my mother and my father, my mother was pretty young when she had me. She was 20. My dad was 10 years older than her. As a kid, I remember having a good time growing up. I grew up with a whole bunch of cousins because my grandmother would she had like the house of the family, so we would all go over to her house. A few of my cousins, my grandmother was raising. She had to, wind up raising because my aunt, one of my aunts, my mother's older sister, she had lost custody of her children, so my grandmother was raising my cousins, her children. And so, we would all congregate over my grandmother's house, and so that's why I say I grew up with some siblings because, even though I was the only child for my mother, almost every weekend I would be at my grandmother's house. And so, growing up, there, I don't know, I don't remember, there wasn't a lot of, I guess I couldn't remember like a lot of alcoholism back then, as a kid, anyways. I didn't really notice anything because I guess because I was a kid, I was, playing a lot and, but there were times when we would have parties over my grandmother's house, and there would be drinking and things, and we as children we would see fights and stuff between either the sisters or which were my aunts and my mother, or there would be fights between my grandmother and her kids, or fights between whoever they were dating at the time. And so I remember that, but as a kid I really didn't pay a lot of attention to it. Also too, growing up, I didn't start seeing an issue until I got a little bit older, probably around 8, 9 years old, when there were times when my mother, she liked to go clubbing a lot, and there were times when it would be just me and my dad at home, and my mother would still be out or with with her. She had a friend of hers that was her best friend, and so there were times when me and my dad would go out and look for her. I had a really good memory. As a child, like I could remember where like where my godmother lived and things, and I could tell my dad like, how to get to her house and look for my mother and but when we would find my mother, and my mother and my dad would get into like a huge fight, and I remember just one time where they got into this huge fight and they wind up crashing the car. And I was about 8 or 9 years old that time. I was actually in the car. And I had to, I was the only one that got injured as a kid then. And I guess for me, that's when I started to realize that there was some type of issue between my mother and my father. And as I got a little bit older, my dad, he would wind up going off into like these hospitals, and I didn't understand why he, what was going on, why he would wind up in these hospitals. And me and my mom would go and visit him in these hospitals, or why, my mother would get angry at him when he would be in the bathroom for a long time. And so, as I got a little older, and my parents, they started to have more frequent arguments and things, I started to learn a little bit about what was going on, that my dad was suffering from addiction. He was going through, he was using crack cocaine, and so that's why he would go into these hospitals called rehabs. And so my mother, she grew very angry at my dad, and I started to take on a lot of the anger against my dad. I was really the older I got, the angrier I got at my dad. To the point to where like he would call, and I would always be in the middle of him and my mother. And so when my mother didn't want my dad to call her, she would change her phone number. And so my dad would call my grandmother, and me always being at my grandmother's house, he would ask me, what was going on and stuff like that. And so it got to the point where I just didn't want to talk to my dad. And so with my grandmother being there, she would always encourage me to talk to my dad. And so, I didn't know that, I was taking on the attitudes and things of my mother against against my dad, the older I got. Growing up, I didn't really understand, that my mother was had her own issue with alcoholism, and that my dad was, really addicted to drugs. And so, there was a lot of chaos. I remember, just always there being a lot of chaos, but, me, I was grateful to have my grandmother around, to where every weekend, most of the time, I would be with her and my cousins most of the time. And so I think for me, that helped me to get a lot of balance, a little bit of balance when it came to like school. When I would get sick at school and things, I could call my grandmother. She would come pick me up, that kind of stuff. When I really started to try to control my mother's drinking, because with my dad being in and out of the hospital and stuff, they wind up breaking up. And my mother, she got married to somebody else, and we moved into like some military housing, and I was a teenager by then. I was probably a freshman in high school, And I started seeing my mother's alcoholism progress, and her husband at the time, he was trying to control her, and me, I was trying to control her as well. Things I would do, I would try to pour out her beer, and we would get into fights, physical fights, about her drinking. And I just remember feeling just like, man, like there's something I should be doing to help try to control it. Also too, my mother, like when I would go to games and stuff, or I was in band, I was a big band geek. I would feel a lot of shame because my mother didn't, my mother or my father couldn't show up at certain performances and stuff, or she would forget to come pick me up, that kind of stuff. And so, I became, I was trying to become less dependent on her back then. So I would, try to find other ways to get home or from school and stuff like that, so that I wouldn't have to depend on her, because I would be afraid to drive with her, because she would come pick me up, she would be, I could smell alcohol and stuff on her breath, and then we would wind up get to an argument or a fight, and I would, say, let me out the car, and I would just walk home. So growing up, the older I got and started, and I started to see how alcoholism was just taking a toll on her health and everything, I became filled with fear. Nobody knew at school what I was going through at home. I didn't talk to anybody. None of my friends knew. I had this happy persona, where I didn't say it much about what was going home, and I didn't invite a lot of kids to come. I don't think I had any visitors actually, and from 10th grade and up, to come over. And what happened? My mother and her husband at the time, they wound up divorcing, and we had to move off of the military base. And my mother, she didn't have a job or anything, so my dad, who was he was living in a halfway house at the time, and was sober at the time, so he was able to save up enough money to send me to live in Buffalo, New York, where his family was, my aunt, his older sister. And so I moved there for about a year and a half, and went to school there. And while I was there, the whole time I was worried about what was going on with my parents. I thought if only I could, be there, I could help in some type of way. And so probably about a year and a half later, I was able to fly back home and live with my mother. She had found a job by then. She had a small apartment, and so I went and I lived with her, back with her, and her the I think the first week I got back, I saw how much worse things had gotten with her drinking, where she was binge drinking during the weekends. But she was a functioning alcoholic during the week to go to work, but just on the weekends, it was that was her time to drink heavily and listen to her music really loud. And so for me, I grew more isolated, I felt, back then, to where, again, I was still putting on this happy persona and stuff in front of folks at school. My friends did not invite, I never had sleepovers or anything like that. And And it was really hard to watch her, because I felt like she was just drinking her life away. And so I would, resort to trying to feed her, making sure I knew how to cook, cooking meals. And my dad, he was still living in a halfway house. So sometimes, when me and her would get into fights and I would leave or she would kick me out for the night, I would try to get me some sleep on the bus, because I had a bus pass and things like that. And I just remember being very sad, and I just wanted to really, I really wanted to just die, because I was just I just didn't know what to do to help her. And probably a half a year when I after I got back from Buffalo, something happened with my mom where she, I guess she went to work drunk, and they gave her an ultimatum to where she had to get into a program in order to keep her job. So she wound up getting into this program at a hospital, and we were able to meet with a counselor and everything once a week. And she started going to AA, and she met these folks in AA that were also Alateen sponsors, and so she introduced me to these folks, and that's what got me into Alateen at the age of 15. And they would come pick me up because we didn't have a car. They would come pick me up, or I would take the bus to where the meetings were. And there I was able to meet some a lot of kids that were going through the same things that I was going through. I was able to go to they brought me to conferences and things with them, where I was able to meet more kids around California who were going through the same things that I was going through, sometimes worse than me. And so that helped me a lot to be able to see that it wasn't just me as a kid going through trying to control my parents, or feeling a lot of shame about my parents. And so I had a lot of fun going to those Alateen meetings. It was great. And just to know that it just wasn't just me, that that I wasn't the problem that was causing the drinking, and that it was just something that I could not control. I couldn't control my dad's addiction. I couldn't control my mother's alcoholism. And probably, it was going okay for about 6 months, and then my mother, she had relapsed. And when she relapsed, I went, we went to the counselor, and I told the counselor, that my mother had relapsed. And my mother got so angry, and was denying that she had relapsed and everything. And after that, she stopped going to the counseling and to the to her AA meetings. And so for a long time, I carried that with me because I thought it was my fault that she stopped going through recovery. And I had to learn through outside help that, that that actually had nothing to do with me. And so Al-Anon, when I got older and got back into Al-Anon, that really encouraged me to get some outside help to help me sort through through that. But so yeah, so after she relapsed and everything, things went more downhill. And by the time I was a senior, my mother, she had lost her job, and we had wound up living in a homeless shelter for my last year in high school. And so it was hard. I just The good thing was I was still in contact with my Alateen sponsors. And so, sometimes they would come pick me up for a meeting. I remember when we was going through eviction, I lived with my sponsors for a month. My Alateen sponsors, they were my angels. And they, they just taught me a lot of like unconditional love. And they would like bring me lunch, make my lunch for me, stuff like that. And so it was just really, even though I was going through all this chaos, I had that as like a, it was like a constant for me, a little bit of a constant, to where I was still able to just know that, just keep that hope that things will get better. And so when I graduated from high school and everything, me and my parents, we were eventually able to get a apartment and everything. And me, my mom, and my dad, we wound up all moving together because we couldn't afford to my mother couldn't afford to go out on her own. She couldn't find a job. And there was a lot of arguments between her and my dad, and it still wasn't the violence and everything just got worse to where my mother, she wound up going to prison for a few years because of an incident where her drinking got out of hand, and her and my dad got into this horrible fight. And so I just kept during that time, I was just trying to the only constant that I had at that time was school. So I was still going to school, trying to get a degree, because I felt like if I got a degree and I could just get a good job, I could help my parents. And so while in college and everything, I didn't immediately go off and go live in the dorms or nothing like that, but I was very independent. I didn't want to depend on anybody. I couldn't, I had a hard time asking folks for help. I had a hard time just being able to enjoy the college experience. I couldn't do that because my focus was, okay, when my mother gets out of prison, I'm gonna have an apartment ready, I'm gonna have a job, and I'm gonna be able to help her. And I was still in contact with my Alateen sponsors who was encouraging me to go into Al-Anon, but I was like, no, I don't have time for that. I need to continue on and get this degree, get this job so I can take care of my parents. And so I when I eventually did graduate and did get a job and was able to maintain an apartment on my own, I didn't realize that that things would I was really just becoming an enabler, really. And so I would find myself when my mother did get out of prison, and I saw that she was still, drinking and everything. My dad, he was in and out of sobriety himself. When I did get an apartment and had them living with me, I was hiding my keys, I was hiding my purse. I just didn't feel comfortable in my own home. And so I didn't know, how much alcoholism was just really running rampant around me, and I didn't know how to control anything. And so I remember just having this like breakdown to where I just, I quit my job, put my stuff in storage, and I had this ideal that, me and my dog, I was gonna take them around the US and travel around, and I didn't have a plan or anything. But my higher power did, because I wound up at Buffalo, and wound up in Buffalo for 2 years after my dog, he got hit by a car, and I had to pay for his vet bills and everything. So I wound up in Buffalo living with my aunt. And those 2 years, even though I had left my mom and my parents and everything, I was still trying to save people and forgetting about things that were important to me. Like I didn't understand that that was all a part of growing up in that chaos and alcoholism. I didn't know that that was a part of me being a people pleaser and things like that. And so eventually when I moved down here to Georgia, I came down here to for a fresh start and everything. But I came down here because I was thinking, if I get my master's degree, and I was thinking the same thing that I did back in California was, if I got this master's degree, I got myself another job, I got this, if I get me a house and everything, my parents come live with me, I could take care of them. And I was still, thank God, I was still in contact with my Alateen sponsors, who, and every time I get on the phone, she would tell me, go to an Al-Anon meeting. And I told her, I promised her, I said, okay, when I get to Atlanta, I'll go to an Al-Anon meeting. And so that's what I did. I went to an Al-Anon meeting. I was in so much pain. I was here for about 2 months before I actually did wind up going to one, because I had gotten involved in a relationship. And again, I was trying to do some saving and controlling, and I was just in this pain to where, I was in this new place and everything, but I couldn't enjoy it. And I was just, I just felt uncomfortable here in Atlanta. And so I had finally listened to my sponsor and, or Alateen sponsors, and got myself to an Al-Anon meeting. And it was this meeting that was actually geared towards children of alcoholics on Monday nights. And I remember that first meeting, and I was thinking, like, wow, these people, I don't have nothing in common with these folks. They got it together. There's nothing that they'll be able to do to help me. And so I just remember sitting in the back and not really, I didn't say anything, and whoring up and leaving after the meeting. And but I still came back the next week, because of what was said, six meetings, at least try six meetings. And so, so I came back again. And each time I felt a little bit of relief, each time. And I remember, I started to identify with folks and their and what they were sharing, the different feelings and everything. And I wound up meeting a person that would become my sponsor at that meeting. And we had so much in common, to where, from her family being from New Orleans and her being from California and things like that. I just started to feel more relief the more I started to go to meetings, to the point to where eventually I asked the woman that would become my sponsor to be my sponsor. And when she became my sponsor, she told me that, hey, you got to go to three meetings a week, at least, no less, and find you a home group. And I didn't know the importance of finding a home group. I didn't understand that at first. At first, I just thought, like, I don't have time to go to no three meetings. I'm working full time. I'm going to school. But I, because I wanted what she had, which was that serenity, despite the chaos, I was like, okay, she knows more than me. Let me go to 3 meetings a week. And so, somehow I made it work. Sometimes I would be in the meeting sleep, but I would wake up in time to just hear maybe something, even if it's the last 5 minutes, I hear something that would help me. And that just really helped me to just get that constant back in my life. That those going to 3 meetings a week, having that one that I went to no matter what, which was my home group. That was I think when I first was in Al-Anon, the Monday night became my home group. So I made sure that every Monday night I didn't have nothing else planned. I was at that meeting. And just getting back into Al-Anon, I became just more aware of how much alcoholism had really was really controlling my life, how much I had how much I was putting things on hold because I was trying to wait on my parents to get it together before and have this ideal of happiness that I thought they should have. I didn't understand that that's what I was doing to myself, that I was causing myself to have to be miserable, basically. I was causing myself to be miserable because I didn't know how to live. And so, coming into Al-Anon, I got a chance to just learn that, I could live, I could be happy, regardless of whether or not the alcoholic is drinking or not, or the addict is using or not. I had to learn how to say no, to my parents, because when I, did get a place and everything, my mother and my father, my mother, she was still, homeless and everything. And so, I had to say no to her when she asked me to come live with me. And that was the hardest thing, for me that I ever had to do in the program, was to say no to my mother who was still suffering. And the re and I'm so glad that I did say no, because eventually she wound up getting her own place, and getting back on her own feet herself. I didn't realize, I had to learn, come to Al-Anon to realize that I was taking away the dignity of my parents and them being able to figure out how to do things with their own higher power. I had to learn that I wasn't their higher power, that they had their own higher power and it wasn't me. And that what I owed them was to just be a daughter, a great daughter, and that being a great daughter didn't mean being their parent. And so that was another thing that I learned in Al-Anon, was that that I'm not my parents' parents. They have, they had their parents. They're my parents, and that my responsibility to them is not to take care of them for now, until they get so. I had to learn from my sponsor and everything that that when they do need me, I want to be there for fun and for free. I don't want to be angry at them when eventually they really do need me to take care of them. And so, I had to learn boundaries, with my parents. And Al-Anon and the support from the program just really helped me to navigate how to be more detached from what was going on with my parents, and how to be more accepting and stop judging them for how they were choosing to live their life and how they were choosing to find happiness for themselves. To this day, my mother, she still drinks. My dad, goes still in and out of sobriety, and I have learned to accept that. And, one of the gifts that I was given from the program was the ability to go home, be with my mom, and sit there and enjoy my time with her without judging her. Even though she was drinking the stuff in front of my face, I was able to still sit there, have a good time with her, go to an Al-Anon meeting. I was still going to Al-Anon meetings when I would go home to California, and and just be around her and enjoy her, enjoy my time with her, and just see her as just enjoying her day. Even if it was with a beer and her music, that was her. That's her happiness, and I had to accept that. I'm just so grateful for this program, because it's teaching me every day how to just be a daughter, and a friend, or without trying to control a person or how I think they should be living their lives. It just gave me the freedom to start focusing on my life and how I can make my own life better. And so yeah, I'm grateful to the program. I'm grateful to be in a MIAS to where I'm able to get some healing as well every time I'm at a Alateen meeting. I hear the kids speak about things that I've gone through, and I'm there to assure them that that things can and will get better. We just keep coming back, keep showing up. I'm able to share with them that I went through that as well. And that you're not alone. I appreciate every time when I go into an Alateen meeting, I see how much they love each other, how much they are there for each other, support each other when they're crying. Just it's awesome to see them when they start coming on a consistent basis and they start getting better. It's just awesome to be a part of that growth and to see their journey through the program. And I just learned from them how to just show up and wing it, like without a plan. I love that about the Alateen meetings. And so yeah, with that, I'll just say, that this program is an awesome tool. I'm so glad that during all of that craziness, I was able to still be blessed to have found this program, and that I had awesome Alateen sponsors that still kept in contact with me even when I left the program, and that my higher power still was able to lead me back to it later on in life, even when I thought I didn't need it anymore. So yeah, with that, thank you.